You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
You heard it. I'm RJ, and we got an action-packed hour for you. It's really, we're going to tell, the Vegas is going to tell ESPN it's wrong. It's going to tell the AP it's wrong. And Colin Cowherd, it's wrong. And then at the bottom of the hour, we are going to have the biggest disagreement yet on this show, and it's about Notre Dame football. I'm on one side, and there's an unfortunate fellow on the other side. In studio with me today, the pros who know, NFL expert Steve Fezzik, with all the college knowledge, Brad Powers. Also backing up in the colleges, Ken Thompson. Deep, deep knowledge from Ken in the college side. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to know more than their buddies. Here's my personal promise. We will deliver the Vegas truth to you. But you can't have the pros without the Joes. And we got my favorite, Jonas Knox, the voice of the fans.
Always good to be here. Always good to be the voice of the fan. And it's always good to come to you live here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. So as we do every day here on Straight Outta Vegas, we start off the show with the Vegas perspective on the biggest sports story of the day. And that would be Monday Night Football, where Drew Brees breaks the NFL record for career passing yards Monday night in the Saints 43-19 win over the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, and let's talk a little typical talk radio, sports talk first, and appreciate Breeze, because I would make the case he's never been in the conversation. Let's look at the quarterbacks drafted since Peyton Manning. And if you ask sports fans who has been the best quarterback during that era, you're rarely going to hear Brees at the top of the list. In fact, Jonas, let me ask you, as the voice of the fans, all quarterbacks since the Peyton Manning's draft, where do you have Brees?
I got him fourth, behind Rodgers, so, Manning, and Brady.
Okay. I would tend to agree. I mean, I think Big Ben is the conversation. Where's he in that mix? Otherwise, I think it's a stretch for any other quarterback. Now, where's Russell Wilson in 10 years? I don't know. Andrew Luck in 10 years. But as of now, I think it's fair to say that Brees is number four. Now, he didn't play for 2 years, his first 2 years in the league. So imagine the idea that you don't play for 2 years and you're have the most yards in the history of the NFL. Some people might say he's the best. Now, obviously playoffs matter when it comes to quarterbacks. Also, I think we got to keep in mind the era. As in, and this is a fact that our producer Lauren came up with, and I think it really speaks broadly and strongly. Fran Tarkenton retired as the all-time passing leader. Minnesota Vikings, great scrambler. When I used to play down at the basketball courts, there was a little football field on the side. Whenever someone, this is the late 70s, I was like 9 years old, Tarkenton, it was famous, the way he played. It was about almost 20 years he held that title. If you asked, in 1980, 81, 82, 91, 92, who's got the most yards in the history of this game? Fran Tarkenton. Now, since then, since about 96 or so, there's been five people, with Brees being the fifth, that took that title. So 20 years or so, one guy has it. And then in the next 20 or so years, five guys have it. It's about passing. It's about the era, which I think brings up an interesting point, which is, which of these guys, if it's Andrew Luck, if it's Mahomes, how many times in the next 20 years is this record going to be broken? So to some degree, this is why I think football is not as statistically driven as baseball. These numbers mean such a different thing today. I mean, if you look at Terry Bradshaw's stats, it looks like he should not be a starter in the NFL. Forget the Super Bowls. But he was a high, high quality quarterback, especially the second half of his career at the time. Joe Namath, if you look at his completion percentage, The game's changed. And Breeze and this generation have benefited from that. Do we really think Breeze is better than Dan Marino in his prime? I don't think so, but he has more yards. And eventually, in 10 years, there's going to be some talk show guy saying, hey, do we really think Mahomes is better than Drew Breeze? And everyone's going to say no, but Mahomes is going to have more yards. So let's give Breeze the kudos, but I think some of this is generational. And Jonas, you've got an interesting point about this very thing.
Well, I also think that just makes Emmett Smith's record, his rushing record, that much more unattainable. With the NFL going to such a pass-based offense and it being so much surrounded about the quarterback and getting the ball downfield, I don't see anybody approaching Emmett Smith's record because I don't think they're going to get the touches.
I mean, he's absolutely right. And some records are going to get harder. Some are going to get easier.
So, guys, the Vegas lead now turns to the Dallas Cowboys. It was all roses in New Orleans for the Saints on Monday night, something it has not been for the Dallas Cowboys, where after losing in overtime to the Houston Texans on Sunday night, Jerry Jones questioned the decision-making by Jason Garrett. He since has backtracked a little bit, but the talk is out there and the betting odds are out there, and Jason Garrett could be in trouble in Big D.
Yeah, right now, and this is just an objective fact, Jason Garrett is the favorite to be the first NFL coach fired. The favorite right now. I think it's justified. If you talk to the guys that understand coaching or listen to them, Garrett's always been held in low regard. Fez, from a wise guy perspective, pro better perspective, where have you had Garrett on your list?
He's in the bottom half.
The bottom half. And that might be generous, right? So I think it's justified, but really this is a question, and Colin Cowherd has talked about this a lot. Jerry Jones is older. What is he, 75?
Yeah, he's
everyone's
in his
nodding.
70s. Yeah,
they're
he's
nodding
in the 70s.
On the radio.
All right. Well, we don't want to call out his age like that, which is code for we weren't quite
he's
sure.
Not, he's not an actress trying to get a role like playing in high school when he's 28. I mean, come on. To me, though, here's the question when you start to feel your mortality. You know, Bob Dylan, I'm a huge fan. He has a line. He says, your days are numbered, but so are mine. All of our days are numbered. But you start to feel that at a certain point more. Luckily, I haven't felt that yet. Fez, you're getting there. You feeling it?
No.
No.
I'm taking the fish oil.
Ignorance is bliss, right? He's only a few years older than me, but it's fun. Now, to me, when you reach those mid-70s, you never know. Right? You could live another 15 years, could live another one. And the question is, when you feel that mortality, do you want to stay in the same situation and appreciate what you got? Or do you want to take a risk? And I think a lot of people in marriages with their partners will say at a certain point, they reach a certain age. And they're not, like, the idea of dating seems like, ugh, that sounds horrible. You know, the oldest guy in the bar or whatever, right? And the girls are worried and the women are worried about, you know, we all got our worries as you get older. And do you stay in a marriage that's 50% good? Because there's 50% good there. Or do you say, hey, there's a clock ticking. I don't have much time left. I might as well live a full life. But what's the risk? The risk is you might be alone the rest of your life. So right now, what we know about Jerry Jones is he likes it his way. Does anyone doubt how good of a coach Jimmy Johnson was after two Super Bowls? But hey, he didn't like Jerry Jones's way. Gone. Then another coach comes and wins a Super Bowl. Ah, that's not working out either. Then you get, some might say, up until recently, the best coach of our time. I mean, 10 years ago, a lot of people thought Bill Parcells was the best NFL coach ever. By most accounts, top five, I would say. And he wasn't good enough. Gone. But then a guy, you know, let's give Garrett some credit. He obviously placates and pleases Jerry Jones. But is Garrett going to give you a Super Bowl? And to me, all evidence points against it. And Fez, if I said, let's make a bet, will the Cowboys win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years? And we put odds on it. And in scenario A, you know Jason Garrett's going to stay the coach for the five. In scenario B, Lincoln Riley's going to be the coach for the five. How much more optimistic are you about the Cowboys winning a Super Bowl with Lincoln Riley?
Three times more likely.
Three times?
Wow.
So that's off the cuff. That's a thought. But really what we're going to see from Jerry Jones is how much does he want comfort as he feels that clock ticking, and how much does he want a Super Bowl?
Since we're talking about the future of Jason Garrett here on Straight Outta Vegas, I do have a question for you guys from a fan's perspective. We never take into account coaches when we make bets. We just don't do it. It's not how we work. It's not
how
our minds
you're
think.
You're speaking for the squares?
I'm speaking for the squares, for the fans, for the people that don't make professional money and don't make the good money like you guys do. But with you guys being professional, how often do you look at coaching when you determine whether or not you're going to make a bet?
I think it matters if you're talking about optimism about a team over the long run or a given game. If it's a given game, I think it's very rarely you're thinking about the coaching. You might be thinking about the scheme, but you're not thinking about the coaching. The reason being, it's built into how good the team is. Whatever effect the coach is going to have, what would the Patriots' record be without Belichick? I don't know. I know how good they are with Belichick. But if we're saying, hey, so-and-so just hired, Team X just hired Coach Y, now that coach is going to be something different about that team. And that change is something that a really good coach can cause a lot of optimism. Fez, you agree with that?
I do agree. The one exception, RJ, might be when I'm looking at a pick'em type of situation, coaches like Garrett excel at losing those close games.
So that's an interesting question. Are you actually thinking about that? Whereas, so let's say there's a team that's an underdog that's +4. So it's a 4-point underdog. And the coach is a coach that you don't like. Is that something where you're going to be more inclined to take the 4? Whereas if it's a coach you really do like, maybe you jump on the money line with the better payoff?
Yes, because the coach I like will be aggressive and will play to win the game, taking risks.
Okay, but you're explaining why you like that coach. But let me ask you one more time and see if you're answering my question. Is will you specifically bet the money line more on a 4-point underdog or so? And I'm using 4 as an example of, hey, it's a close game, but you could see them cover and lose a lot of games, but still cover, right? Lose it by 1, 2, 3. Okay, you still cover. But if you have a superior coach, you're going to take, the action's going to be to take the money line more often.
Very much so, because he might go for it 4th and 8 from his own 22 down 5, RJ, try to win the game.
No, I understand why you're doing it. I just wanted that question answered. And now after 2 tries, yay! Lucky you had the day off yesterday, Fez. When we come back, we're going to have Brad Powers, Fezzik, and Ken Thompson critique the rest of the world.
He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Outta Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in a couple of moments, we will get to pros versus the world here on Straight Outta Vegas.
Every day we bring a little bit of Vegas to you. Right now on the Strip, 83 degrees, and the neon is pulsing. By the way, Ken Thompson with us. He really, the crowd was going wild last week with Ken's contribution. And it's like a game show here. We got a green button. You get invited back when you do well. You're off the island forever if you don't. Ken, you had a really interesting point about Drew Brees, where maybe his numbers are telling not the whole story.
And the guy that he passed last, Peyton Manning, also a guy whose numbers are skewed a little bit. When you look at it, it's ironic that his name is Brees because he doesn't deal with Brees 55% of his games. 8 games are going to be in the Superdome. 1's going to be in Atlanta's Dome. So that's 55% of your games every year you're playing indoor. You don't have to worry about wind or any of the outside components. Peyton Manning also had that same advantage playing for Indianapolis and also going to Houston every year. So 9 games out of the 16 regular season games indoors. And when you look at Elway, Rodgers, Favre, Roethlisberger, Marino, they had to deal with the outside components.
Manning did okay when he went to Denver, though.
He did okay, but they,
yeah, you know.
No, but his, you know, his skills had diminished in the neck problems. I mean, he wasn't the same.
Well,
Manning
it's funny that that's interesting because if you actually look at his best year in Denver, Peyton Manning's best year in Denver might have been the best statistical year for any quarterback in history. But I would agree with you in general. If you're playing a majority of your career in a dome at home, that's an advantage. Fez, last thing on the Saints. This is a team that's 4-1. And a lot of teams that were supposed to be good this year don't have a great record. Steelers being a great example. Eagles, another example. Right now, how much better are the Saints than you thought they were entering the year?
They're actually slightly worse, RJ.
So you, even though they're 4-1, Steve Fezzik, maybe the best NFL better in the world, and we say that objectively, the only two-time Super Contest champion, you still think the Saints aren't quite the team you expected this year. Why?
Because that defense is down a good two ticks.
You know something? I agree with you. If they had lost that Browns game and the Saints easily could have, boy, we'd be having a different tune right now.
Guys, we're going to have Pros versus the World coming up here in just a moment, but we do want to let you know we are brought to you by Geico. This is a 30-second commercial, and I'm going to throw a lot of numbers at you, but please stay with me. In just 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. This company has been offering great rates and great service for over 75 years, and anytime you need help, you can speak to one of their trained specialists 24/7. The company is Geico. Go to geico.com today. Sorry for all the numbers, and in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, I'm out of time. But right now, it's time for this.
It's the Pros versus the World.
And we start off with Steve Fezzik, who takes center stage. And first up, he takes on ESPN's power rankings, where ESPN has the Bengals ranked 6th. Steve Fezzik, how wrong is ESPN on this?
Very wrong. The Bengals are very overrated. They are my number 14 team, and it's all about that record in close games.
So 14, so just slightly a smidge above average, the Bengals.
Yes, and really what it's come down to, RJ, and we've spoken about this before, they had a game at Indianapolis, coin flip with 30 seconds to play. A game against Atlanta, coin flip with 30 seconds to play. And what happened last week? Well, it looks like they won by 10 against Miami. They trailed 3-17. And anyone who doesn't think that was a coin flip, go back and watch that fourth quarter. There were some nefarious plays going on.
Wait a second. Nefarious implies that there was some kind of unfairness. Is that a fair word?
It was unfair to those who bet on the Dolphins plus 6.5.
You know something? That was my best. I had a killer day, but my Dolphins, it was my best bet. And if I didn't want to, you know, we have a rule here. Anytime you complain about bad beats, this music has to play. And I just can't talk over it. So I'm not even going to complain, though I kind of just did.
Now, guys, next up, the Chargers are 5th in Colin Cowherd's herd hierarchy. Now, nobody is left untouched here. If you make a mistake, you get called out. So, Steve Fezzik, where do you have the Chargers as opposed to Colin Cowherd having them 5th in his herd hierarchy?
Yeah, Chargers overrated. I have them as my number 11 team. Frankly, I don't know what the Chargers have done to justify this jump. They were a borderline top 10 team to start the year, and they basically met expectations. They played two very good teams. And they lost to Kansas City and the Rams convincingly. They played three very bad teams. They won all those games, including just a 2-point win against San Francisco. Overreaction to the Raider win.
Now, hold on a second. Three very bad teams. So who did the Chargers beat?
Oakland, Buffalo, and San Francisco.
All right, so let's agree. Now, San Francisco was before or after Jimmy G?
After Jimmy G went down.
All right, so let's agree. Let's agree.
Boy,
with
the
you.
The inflection on Jimmy G yet again.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't quite this.
I love Jimmy G.
But again, love fades, right? You have that first, you know, there's the pheromones and everything, and then later it changes. Now, let me ask you a quick question, Fez. And again, maybe you're wrong, and if you are, it's no big deal. I'm going to play a little background music that implies you're wrong. All right. Now, the Chargers were at home against the Raiders. And it was, what, a 4.5-point line?
5.
Now, home field's 3. So I get you're going to, and let's just skip this part, that, oh, the Raiders were going to have more people there. Okay, fine. But we know home field isn't just that. We know it's not just how many people are in the crowd. It's, do you have to travel? Are you familiar with the locker room, the venue, the turf, the sight lines, etc.? So no reasonable wise guy would overreact that, oh, there's a few black and silver jerseys up there. So really, what let's just say home field was even worth one. All right, so five. So you're saying Chargers were only 4 points better, but somehow the Raiders are one of the worst teams. Who did you bet in that game?
I bet on the Oakland Raiders, making the case that there was just one handicap, that they were going to have a significant home field advantage, and wowza, I could not have been more wrong.
Okay, and they did have the crowd advantage, though, right? So I think in a weird way what you're saying is because the Raiders got beat, and you liked them in that spot, they must be horrible. Thus, let's diminish the Chargers.
Yes.
Well, you're not supposed to admit that too quickly because it seems like it invalidates your point.
I think the Chargers, I have a very high confidence in how good they are. Let's face it. This is a team that for years, every year, oh, the Chargers are the sleeper team with Philip Rivers. They're going to go all the way. How many times do they have to disappoint before we stop thinking about the Chargers
as a
contender?
Hold on a second. We're not talking about the Chargers winning a Super Bowl or whatever. We're saying how good is this Chargers team, understanding maybe their coaching isn't great or whatever. Now, Ken, you actually have a professional connection with the Raiders. What was your take on the game?
My take was there. First off, there were 75% Raider fans there. What the Chargers did when the Raiders came out on the field, you know what song they blared? Viva Las Vegas. That was the song they blared across the loudspeakers.
Ooh.
Which tried to get under Mark Davis's skin. But here's the thing. Joey Bosa is out right now. When he comes back, this Charger defensive line is going to be legit. They got Corey Legit back. I have San Diego inside my top 10.
Okay, and
or
again,
the
right?
LA Chargers, excuse me.
Whenever we do the power rankings, it's all about today's reality. All I'm saying is when you have a Chargers team that have lost to the two best teams in football by many accounts, Rams and KC, and they're handling business otherwise, and then they dominate a Raiders team that, quite frankly, a guy like Fez bet on, I think both answers can be right. They can be not as good as number five like Colin has, but I don't think we should totally disregard the Chargers.
Guys, next up here, Brad Powers will take on the Associated Press, where the AP has West Virginia ranked sixth. Brad, where do you have the Mountaineers?
Yeah, I don't even have West Virginia in my top 10. I have the Mountaineers currently number 12 in my power ratings. And to me, it's all about who has West Virginia played. They haven't played anybody in the top 35 right now, so it's tough for me to say, hey, this is a legit top five, top six team, and they've only been beaten below average teams so far.
Ken, what's your thoughts on West Virginia?
I agree with Brad 100%. Will Grier is a guy kind of like with that Favre mentality. He will force the ball in places that it will not fit. He already has six interceptions. They've been very fortunate to come back in some games and hold on against teams like Texas Tech that were down to a third-string quarterback.
So both the pros on the college side thinks West Virginia is overrated.
Guys, next up here on Pros versus the World here on Straight Out of Vegas, it is 22-ranked Texas A&M, Brad Powers against the Associated Press again. Brad, what are your thoughts on the Aggies?
Yeah, I think Texas A&M is underrated. Currently, I have the Aggies number 14th in my power ratings, and it's all about who the Aggies have played. Their only two losses this season against arguably the top two teams in the country. I mean, obviously a little caveat with Clemson, but Alabama, that was actually a decent loss for the Aggies. And what happened last week for Texas A&M? They face an unbeaten Kentucky team. A&M gets the win in the cover, and the final scoreboard was a little bit misleading. They dominated an unbeaten Kentucky team last weekend.
And I saw all over Twitter, upset, A&M beats
no.
Ranked Kentucky, but they were a, what, six-point favorite?
Six-point favorite at home.
Okay, so Brad Powers, a pro who knows, says Texas A&M underrated at number 22. Ken Thompson, agree? Disagree.
Disagree. Here's the thing with A&M. Yes, they're very good at home. They played Clemson to that two-point game at home, played very well, took out Kentucky at home, got whipped in Alabama. They have three straight road games coming up at South Carolina, at Mississippi State, at Auburn. They'll lose two of those three games.
Ken's back Thursday. Might have to do a little crossfire on this game against South Carolina. In just a minute, me and Brad are doing a crossfire. It's probably the biggest disagreement we've had on this show, and it's about Notre Dame football.
All of that next, but for all the latest from around the world of sports, let's hear from Isaac Lohenkron.
Afternoon, join us tonight at 8:07 Eastern, Game 4 of the American League Division Series with the Red Sox leading the Yankees 2-1. Mr. Cycle, Brock Holt, not in the Red Sox starting lineup for Game 4, but Aaron Hicks is back in the Yankees lineup after missing the last two games with a hamstring injury. NFL, the Jacksonville Jaguars today signed veteran free agent running back Jamaal Charles to a one-year deal. Charles made four Pro Bowls in 9 seasons with the Kansas City Chiefs before spending the 2017 campaign with the Denver Broncos. Speaking of the Chiefs, they placed offensive lineman Laurent Duvernay-Tardif on injured reserve and signed free agent linebacker Frank Zombo. The Bengals waived running back Thomas Rawls. Finally, in the NBA, Los Angeles Lakers head coach Luke Walton announced this afternoon that Lonzo Ball will make his preseason debut tomorrow against the defending world champion Golden State Warriors. Ball is coming off of offseason knee surgery. He last appeared in a game back on March 28th of last season. Fellas, back to you.
Thanks, Isaac. Straight out of Vegas comes to you live here from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios, where it's easy to save 15% or more on car insurance with Geico. Go to geico.com or call 800-947-AUTO. The only hard part, figuring out which way is easier. Coming up 15 minutes from now, it is a special edition of Best Bets. Two expert picks from our guys here on Straight Out of Vegas, that 15 minutes from now here on Fox Sports Radio. I am Jonas Knox, the voice of you, the fan, and he is the voice of Las Vegas, RJ Bell.
Yeah, it's not only two expert picks on this from two different pros. They like the same game playing tonight. So if you're playing tonight's college football game, hold on for that one. All right, Brad, I respect your expertise, but when I disagree, I'm not afraid to press the green button. What's the green button? It's green. It has a dollar sign on it, and it makes the following sound. Anytime a pro around the Wise Guy Roundtable here on Straight Out of Vegas says something, they like a game or something strong, you better be ready to bet on it. We were talking after the show. We're going to have to get like an overtime or something and tape these talks. After the show yesterday, and we debated the following point. And I want the listeners to put the price in their mind. What would the odds be in the following scenario? If Notre Dame loses exactly one game the rest of the year, so they would finish the season with one loss, what are their odds of making the playoffs? If they win out, they're going to make the playoffs. If they lose two, they're not going to make the playoffs. What are the odds they're going to make the playoffs? And Brad, you said
15% at best.
15% at best. So we negotiated a little bit, and I think it's only fair that you offer me, I think it's absurdly low. I think you follow the green. That could be money.
Ooh.
It could be the Irish, but follow the green, because whenever college football has a chance to give Notre Dame the benefit of the doubt, they do, because it means more green. And that might not quite be the case it used to be a long, long time ago, but it certainly is the case. So what kind of odds would you give me? And our standard bet here is $100. That if there's one loss exactly for Notre Dame, that they make the playoffs.
4-1.
4-1. Yep. So if I bet 100, you'll give me 400.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
So the producers back in LA are with RJ.
Now, no, they're just common sense. Tweet me at RJ in Vegas if you agree with me. If you agree with Brad, I don't know if he has a Twitter. Now, real quick, I love this one. So we don't do this often, but if you are not afraid, and listen, fear is healthy sometimes if you're in a bad spot. If you're not afraid, I'd like to up this. I'd like to risk 500 to win 2,000.
Done.
All right. So, guys, you heard it. And we'll have a video. Yeah. Go. We'll have a video of the payoff either way. Now, I'll tweet it if I win. And Brad on his little Twitter, by the way, at BradPowers7, P-O-W-E-R-S. You know, there's some people following. And if you think Brad is feeling, if you agree with him, follow him so he can feel a little better about his count. But
Brad, I'm following you, bro.
Ken Thompson is that. Fez, you follow him?
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you don't really look at his tweets, do you?
Only when you tell me to.
So Fez, you are, I mean, some would say that, you know, again, I think it's clearly the best NFL bettor in the world. But in my opinion, where you strive even more is in-game betting. ESPN a couple years ago sent a film crew out to film you on game day, like a full Michelle Steele was there. The whole crew watching you on the in-game betting with all the TVs, your apps, and you were like Mozart playing a symphony so fast. It was, I mean, unbelievable. But why are you so good at that? Beyond some manual dexterity, it's because you actually can instantly come up with a price on things better than anyone I've ever met. So one loss for Notre Dame. Do they make the playoffs or not? What's your price?
One third chance, plus 200.
So the fact that I'm plus 400, yum, yum.
I'm embarrassed to say I'd like a piece of that too if Brad wants to offer it.
Oh, how much?
You want the same as RJ?
You want 500?
Oh, absolutely.
500 on.
All right, guys.
God, I want Notre Dame to lose again.
Jonas, what do you think? I mean, if Notre Dame has one loss, do they get in?
If it's close, tie goes to Notre Dame.
I agree. Follow the green.
Yes, you have to, and that's got to be taken into account. The playoff committee knows that, and it's about business as much as it is about qualified to get in based on your win loss record. I think Notre Dame would get the tiebreaker every time.
And to me, you think about that Oklahoma loss because it's really, we know Notre Dame's probably going to get in over any one loss team, except if Alabama loses a game before the championship, and then they win the championship, they're in, all right? Now, the idea that Georgia and Alabama's undefeated and Bama loses, maybe they're in because they're considered to be such a great team. But if Georgia loses, have we ever had a team that lost their conference final and made the playoffs?
No.
No.
So what about Texas if they run the table? Their only loss is their opener against Maryland. It's Texas football, and Notre Dame's loss will have come later against a subpar team.
I think that one would be a close call, and I'm not sure. But remember, that one might be a 50-50. We're getting 4-1.
And all these scenarios might not even happen. Everyone might lose two games that we're talking about.
So, Fez, that's an interesting question. How many teams, if I said I'll give you even money on any team going undefeated, you know, any of the undefeated teams finishing the year undefeated, I bet you even money. Obviously, you'd say Bama. You'd want to say yes. Is there any other team you'd be anxious to bet yes?
Clemson.
Okay. And that's not so how good they are. That's their schedule is pretty weak.
Right.
You agree with that, Brad?
Absolutely.
So now there's two spots left. And to me, you know, a one-loss Ohio State team, let's say they win out. Yeah, them and Notre Dame, that's going to be a tight one. I think Texas is a tight one. I don't think there's any. The idea that Georgia is going to lose its last game and have two SEC teams in a row make the playoffs when there's a Notre Dame team with one loss that lost earlier? No way. And then Washington, forget about it. Oklahoma, if they win out, forget about it. Oklahoma with one loss over Notre Dame. What would
absolutely
you put?
Absolutely in. All right. Oklahoma would be in. That's the bet right there.
What do you think?
I seem to remember Army going to overtime against these guys. I doubt that everyone's going to forget that game.
And everyone's sick of Oklahoma being in the in the playoffs and not, you know, again, they performed okay last night, but they haven't even made the finals. And they've been in there, what, two times? Enough already. Notre Dame hasn't been in the playoffs yet.
All right, here's my thing. LSU beats Alabama, Bama's only loss. All right, and Georgia loses in the SEC championship game to Bama by a field goal. Georgia's getting back in.
All right. Well, again, it'll be the first time we had it'll be 2 years in a row that the same conference gets two teams, and that's only happened. The first time was last year, and the team loses their last game and they get in. I think that's too much SEC bias, especially with Notre Dame as the comparison in this hypothetical. But to recap, and we're going to give Jonas a quick last word. $500 to win $2,000. Brad, I can win the $2,000. He wins the $500. And it's only if there's one loss. And he doubled it up with Fez. It's me and Fez against Brad. I mean, listen, I don't want Brad to feel bad, but
a victim of the infamous Malachi Crunch.
Jonas, last word.
And the one thing I'll say, Notre Dame's signature wins, Michigan, Stanford, Virginia Tech. As the season goes on, they don't look all that hot. Those teams,
so Michigan now, where's Michigan ranked?
Michigan is climbing, but Stanford's now lost two in a row. Virginia Tech lost to Old Dominion. That's the only thing I would look out for.
Follow the green, baby. When we come back, not only best bets like every day, two best bets on the same game tonight.
It's your chance to make double the money here on Fox Sports Radio. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is Straight Out of Vegas here, the show you've always wanted.
Straight Out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
I'm RJ Bell, and we are Straight Out of Vegas. First, before I throw it to Jonas, got some good feedback on Twitter here. A lot of it was, boy, you took Brad and all that. But one of it, and for those just tuning in, we've got a bet. If Notre Dame wins or loses just one game this year, will they make the playoffs? Brad says no, and he gave me and Fez 4-1 on it. 4-1. I bet 500 to win 2,000. Fez bet 500 to win 2,000. There was a great question, though. They said, does Brad have the money if he loses? listen, Brad kills the Vegas books in college football. When he bets early, they are scared. So he has the money. But we did check the blue book on his new truck. So, Fez, we're in good shape either way.
And, Brad, we'll give you fair value on that.
Yeah. I mean, like when Christopher in The Sopranos, he drives up and drives away with everyone's car.
Guys, before we get to best bets, we do want to let you know we are brought to you by Geico, where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So we have a Major League Baseball playoff action, ALDS Game 4, coming up later on. It's the Red Sox at the Yankees. The Yankees, currently a -150 favorite tonight, down 2-1 in the series.
Yeah, and you got to wonder about the psychology. I mean, for a long time, it was the curse of the Bambino. But at this point, I don't remember when the Yankees won the World Series after the Red Sox won their first. Did they go through the Red Sox? I don't think they did. So really, when's the last time the Yankees beat the Red Sox in a playoff series? And we know the Red Sox have a ton of confidence as an organization. So in general, I'm a dog first guy, underdog or pass in baseball. And I think you add in the fact that the Yankees, you know, there's two ways to have a must-win game. The first way is, hey, it gets you focused, motivated. The other way, you get tight. And in New York City, if you got a must-win game, oftentimes you get tight. So I do have a lean towards the Sox tonight.
Guys, how about a little college football on a Tuesday night? Appalachian State is a 10.5-point favorite at Arkansas State.
And remember, guys, our promise, a best bet every day at the end of the show, 6 to 7 Eastern. And any big games that night, we cover them. Brad Powers, all the college knowledge, lean or liking this game?
Yeah, I like the home dog, Arkansas State, plus the 10.5. And to me, it's all about Arkansas State in a disrespected underdog role here. Arkansas State's been the preeminent power in the Sun Belt last 6 years. So whenever I like playing on them when they're a dog. Doesn't happen very often. 6 times, in fact, in conference play the last 6 years they've been a dog. 6-0 against the spread. 5 outright upsets.
Wow.
Give me Arkansas State.
That's a good stat from Brad Powers. Ken Thompson agrees this is a rare double like on this game.
No doubt. And I think a lot of people look at Appalachian State's opener against Penn State. They come back in the fourth quarter, take the lead, get it to overtime, eventually lose. But Jonesboro, Arkansas is a very tough place to get a win. You're going to give double digits to this team. The Red Wolves will find a way to maybe win it straight up.
Guys, we have two early best bets looking ahead. First up, Steve Fezzik.
So, Steve, it's a tradition now, right? You win one, you win another, then we got a streak, I think it was once said. You, on Tuesday, will give an NFL game that meets two criteria. One, you're betting it and you like it. Number two, you're betting it early because you think the line's going to move. You're 2-0. They call that perfect. But you were wrong about the line move last time. You had Seattle. The line actually went up. I think the love for the Rams is even bigger than you thought. But you're 2-0 on the picks, and long-term, 70% on your line moves. Give us your pick this week.
Going to take the Tennessee Titans +3 hosting Baltimore. RJ, this one's easy, all about the line value. Let's think about this. 1 week ago, Baltimore was playing Cleveland at Cleveland, and they were laying three. Now they're laying three at Tennessee. The Titans, I have rated a significantly better team than the Browns, and it wasn't like Baltimore played well. They lost at Cleveland last week. I can't understand how I can be getting three with the Titans. I like it. I bet it.
Okay, and this is an example, obviously a reevaluation after the Buffalo loss, and I think somewhat justified, but I agree, plus three. All right, Ken, bonus best bet. You got 30 seconds. This is an early college football best bet, Ken Thompson.
Yeah, we're going to go with LSU. First off, Georgia's played no top 20 teams. LSU's played three of those teams. They come off a tough loss against a Florida team in the Swamp that can pressure the quarterback. Georgia does not pressure the opposing quarterback. Burrow will have time. The running game will work, and LSU will get after from. LSU wins this game by straight up by at least a touchdown.
Okay, wow. Best bet, Ken Thompson, LSU. That's early look ahead. Early look ahead in the NFL from Fezzik, Tennessee Titans. He expects the line to move. Bet it early. Tonight, a double like on Arkansas State. And I've got a lean, just a lean on the baseball game on the Red Sox plus money.
The Odd Couple is next here on Fox Sports Radio. We are straight out of Vegas. We are back tomorrow, same time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, straight out of Vegas, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.